everyone. Welcome to All Things Iceland. This is Jules, a native New Yorker that moved to Iceland in 2016. After falling in love with the country, I started the All Things Iceland podcast and social media channels in 2018 to share with travelers and others who are interested in Iceland about the country's fascinating history, culture, nature, language, and travel, sharing insights, travel recommendations, folklore, interviews, and so much more. Have helped thousands to become more familiar with Iceland and have epic adventure. This is the last episode of my series about the months in Iceland and what you can expect. You can find all the other months on my website, allthingsiceland.com. Of course, I'll have them linked in the description of this episode on that website, so feel free to check it out. And for those who have not heard about or had a chance to visit Iceland in December, it is a magical experience. I mean, from a personal standpoint, but also from others who have come and shared their experiences here, it feels like you're stepping into a winter wonderland. And in this comprehensive guide on what you can expect, I will talk about things like the weather conditions, daylight hours, what you could wear and pack for December, so you can stay nice and dry and warm, as well as road conditions, expert advice from me regarding this month, because there's some things to keep in mind, top activities you can do in December, and of course, events and holidays. Starting off with the weather and average temperature in December. December is usually quite cold. I will say, though, the last couple of Decembers, in early part of the month, it wasn't that cold. But of course, as we got more near towards Christmas or even just like the winter solstice, the temperatures dipped and you could find a range of -1 degree Celsius to 4 degrees Celsius or 30 degrees Fahrenheit to 39 degrees Fahrenheit. And that's on average in the south. Of course, as you go more north, it's more possible and likely, of course, for it to dip below freezing and to stay there more often, especially during the nighttime, and the weather can be unpredictable, as with any month, to be fair, with Iceland. But in December, we're looking at possible snowstorms, rainfall, wind storms, of course, ice on the streets and the roads. Checking the temperature before you go out and just the expectations regarding weather would help a lot so that when you are out there, you don't feel like you're caught off guard. Now, it is important to keep in mind, though, that Iceland has a reputation of having every season in a day and the weather changing every 5 minutes. That is relatively true, but I think it's fair to say in December that you can expect more wintry type conditions than the other seasons, just because we are also coming to a point where it's going to be the darkest day, which I'll talk about in a moment when I talk about the daylight hours. But I also just find too that the wind, like in many places where you have that wind chill, can make it feel so much colder. So take that with a grain of salt too when you look at the weather forecast and it might say that it's freezing or 0 degrees Celsius, 32 degrees Fahrenheit. Of course, then it could feel much colder. When it comes to daylight hours, one of the most distinctive features of Iceland, or at least the winters, is the limited daylight. And in December, the sun rises around 11 a.m. and sets by 4 p.m., which gives us about 5 hours of daylight if you think about the whole month of December. But we also have the winter solstice. So December 21st is our shortest day of the year. So if you think about December 1st, we're starting off with the sun rising at 10:47 a.m. and setting at 3:46 p.m. So, you know, still a decent amount, well, not decent, but over 4 hours. By the time that we get to December 21st, the sun is coming up at 11:22 a.m. and setting at 3:29 p.m. So that's 4 hours and 7 minutes. So whenever I tell people that our shortest day is around 4 hours, it boggles their mind because, first of all, it is incredible to witness. And I know for myself, when I first came here, going to work early in the morning and or just even at a regular time, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning, and getting there and the sun not coming up and for 2 hours while you're still at work and it's pitch black outside is a jarring experience. I think as a tourist, it's a very different type of, you know, way that you take it in because you get an opportunity to maybe relax a little bit or you're driving on the road. It's more of an adventure. But living here during that time is very strange to have to get used to. And I do always recommend that people come during this time because it's a fascinating phenomenon that you can witness and get an opportunity to see, you know, for yourself how you can adjust if you stay for a couple of weeks. And regarding the end of December, so by the 31st, because after December 21st, technically the days are starting to get longer. We don't really feel it though, but it's happening. So we go from, you know, on that shortest day of the year, 4 hours and 7 minutes, to on December 31st, the sun coming up at 11:20 a.m. and setting at 3:42 p.m., which is 4 hours and 22 minutes of sunlight. So, you know, I'll take it. It's a tough one, meaning you feel it for all those weeks with it being such short days. But of course, that does mean potential for the Northern Lights. So I'll talk about that in a little bit later in the episode. What to wear in December? Well, it's full-on winter, so of course your winter gear. And in my other episodes, you've heard me talk about things like layers. And for sure, you'll need thermal underwear, long underwear, if you will, long johns. And that is for your base layer, so your top and bottom. Wool socks or some type of socks that are really good at keeping your feet warm, thermal socks. And then on for your second layer, fleece, wool, or any type of synthetic material that is good at insulating. And then, of course, on top of all of that, the third layer is your windproof and waterproof jacket. That's a winter coat, really, not just a jacket, but a winter coat that has maybe even a little bit more thickness to it. And that will definitely do you well for winter in Iceland. It will keep you nice and warm and dry, which is super important. Your hat, gloves. I always get hats and gloves that, of course, have a lining to them because the wind here really just pierces through clothing, especially if you have like a thinner hat or and your hood is not the best. You can get really cold quickly. Your ears, your head, a nice scarf, even something to potentially cover over your mouth because there are times where the wind, again, is just so strong. And if it's cold enough, it feels a little bit harder on your face. Or if it's raining or snowing and it's hitting you pretty hard, it's nice to protect against that. Waterproof or at least water resistant boots with good traction. And that makes it easier, of course, for the icy paths. However, I will always recommend, and I'll have a link to it in the notes for this. So the description of this podcast episode on allthingsiceland.com, but in essence, it will be allthingsiceland.com/December-in-Iceland and microspikes. I will always tell people to bring a pair, and I have a specific pair that I love using. I've had them for years. If you're from a really warm place, maybe it might be a little harder for you to buy them because the ones I'm talking about are a little bit more expensive, but they are so worth it. There isn't another option for others who might not ever use them any other time, you know, when they're at home, and that is to rent some microspikes. So I'll try to have both of those options in the description on my website for this episode so you can check that out. But if you do want some really good microspikes, definitely check out the ones that I have. They are fantastic. And I even bought a second pair last year so that when, you know, someone's visiting or whatever else, they can have it. Because it has saved me so many times from ever falling. And the amount of people that I've heard of or know personally who have fallen and broken a bone is too many. So please just err on the side of caution if you can. And I've often, too, another add-on for what to wear in December, sometimes bring hand warmers with me because my hands get cold easily. And that has been great. I will also have my packing checklist, which is free. So it's ultimate packing checklist for Iceland. That will be linked in the description of this podcast episode on my website or through that URL that I mentioned. because it has all the essentials. So I'm just talking about some things here, but you'll have other essentials for packing and you can print it out, check off the list and everything. It's really useful. And a lot of people have enjoyed getting this list and it's helped them feel much more prepared, not have to think too hard about what they need or what, you know, they possibly might be forgetting when coming here, including if you're going to bring any devices that you need to charge and if you're coming from a place that has a different outlet or power voltage than in Europe. Regarding road conditions and driving, winter driving in Iceland can be challenging and often is if you're dealing with a snowstorm, not necessarily a storm, but just even a decent amount of snow. Ice on the roads is a feature, especially when you're going into the countryside. It ends up being something that some people are not as used to. And so it's good that the tires on your rental car, they do put studded tires on them. Apparently not every rental car company. I was thinking because I've been working with one for some years and they have great customer service and do a great job. I thought that every company was functioning similar to them, but apparently not. So also keep that in mind when you're renting a car, whoever it's from, make sure that they're putting winter tires on the car so that you have the traction that you need, because that can save your life, honestly. And I know for me, it's been a game changer for me to be able to go out and to be able to explore Iceland during this winter season. The roads can be slippery, as I mentioned. Also, four-wheel drive. People are often asking me if they need a four-wheel drive during winter. And technically, you don't need it, but is it much better? Absolutely. And I drive a four-wheel drive during wintertime. I've also driven a two-wheel drive during winter, and it was fine, but I personally prefer to be more above the ground, so the higher clearance for the car, because there can be a decent amount of snow stacked up. And then also, when it comes to controlling the car, it makes a big difference in, you know, that four-wheel drive. Now, it will be a little bit more expensive for you to be able to rent, but during winter, there are usually less people in Iceland, so the prices are lower than they would be in summertime. So that's just something to keep in mind. And also, checking the road conditions before you leave. So the Icelandic Road and Coastal Administration, called Vegagerðin, and their website, road.is, is amazing. You can actually click on the map and the roads that you plan to drive on. You can see the description of if they're slippery, very slippery, how much of it is covered in ice. So this would really help you to manage your expectations. If the road is closed, of course, if it's easily passable, impassable, whatever, they do a really good job of keeping up on that. They also have cameras where you can see images of the road. So you can, again, get an idea of what you would have ahead of you as you're driving. And then safetravel.is is amazing for weather warnings. They also talk about road closures and things regarding volcanoes or whatever else. Not so much having to deal with December for that particular case, but still just updates that are very important and helpful. And it would just help you to be prepared for winter driving. Normally, the rental cars, at least the ones I've been working with, they give you something, but it doesn't hurt to have your own like first aid little package that you bring when you're traveling, just so that it is, you know, something you have on hand and easily know how to find. And if you are planning to rent a car in Iceland, I highly recommend using Go Car Rental Iceland. They are a local Icelandic car rental company that has great customer service, a large variety of cars, and very competitive prices. I have been partnering with them for a couple of years now, and honestly, I've been super happy with the fact that, first off, their customer service is amazing. I keep getting that from different emails from people who have followed me and used them and have been so happy with that. And then also, they've been expanding in terms of they have an office in Keflavik, so near the airport, and they have another place in Reykjavik that they've made even more closer to downtown. And so it's just really nice to have like the different variety available wherever you want to pick up your car. And if you want to use my code Iceland10, like I mentioned, you could save 10% off the entire cost of your rental car. And in a time like December, it is a lot less costly to rent a car than you would find in like the peak time of summer. And I personally use them whenever I go on trips. Like I will, you know, partner with them and use their cars. So I'm familiar with the fact that the maintenance of the cars is kept up and things that are really important, and utilizing those studded tires, game changer. If you're planning to do any winter camping, which good for you for trying that out, then you can use my code ICELAND7 to save 7% at Go Campers, who is the sister company of Go Carbon to Iceland. You as well will get 2 free duvets, which comes in handy with having to not have to pack like these big covers just to save money. So definitely use that if you're planning to winter camp during the season. One of my expert trip planning tips for you is that in December, because of the varied weather, I would just say be prepared for potential delays or cancellations of activities or changing your plans because of the weather, because of storms. And to be fair, we normally have a lot more wind and snowstorms during January and February, but they certainly can happen in December. So being flexible in your approach to your plans is key to not only manage your expectations, but also your stress levels, because I know it's a vacation. And at the same time, a lot of people have in their mind the things that they definitely want to do, which is fantastic. It's just that also it's the possibility of when you come to a place like Iceland that there's certain things out of your control. Also, when you're driving, make sure that if you need to drive slower, then do that. The roads can be icy, and it's okay if there are, you know, other people who want to go by you. Drive your car, and I've said this in previous episodes, drive your car at the speed in which you can control it. This is something that's been passed down from my grandfather to my mom and to me, and it's always something I keep in mind when I'm on the road because it can be intense out there. It's not always. I don't want to discourage anybody from driving during winter. I just, though, want to help you feel prepared for what to potentially expect. And it could even be better than that in terms of not as icy, but going in knowing that this is part of it will at least get you mentally prepared for that aspect if you decide to drive. And of course, visitors underestimate the weather here all the time. There are many people who are coming from wintry places and they expect that Iceland is exactly the same. That's not usually the case. Our winter storms are very, very, very intense at times. And it could be to the point where if you're advised to stay off the road, please do so. Because every year people are advised to not go in a certain area and they do it and then they need to be rescued by Iceland's search and rescue team. And so just in terms of keeping other people from having to go out and risk their lives to save you, if you already are aware there's a storm, is greatly appreciated. And also, you know, just kind of helps to reserve some of the resources and time of those people when they can maybe help other people who, you know, got into certain situations where they weren't aware that there was a danger. So why should you visit Iceland in December? I mean, I've been talking about icy roads and being rescued. So let's go on to some positive things. Because despite the cold and darkness, it is a fantastic time to come here. There's unique beauty, half-frozen waterfalls, Icelandic Christmas traditions. And of course, if you visit during the very beginning of December, there are usually less tourists, which is amazing. And that, though, changes as the middle of the month rolls around and we get more into the Christmas time and New Year. But still, it's lovely no matter what time of the month that you come. Some top activities for December: Northern Lights, 1000%, you know, knock on wood that you do get to see them if you decide to come in December. Your chances are higher because of our shorter days, but there's no guarantee because it's a natural phenomena. However, I've definitely seen them during that time. It's great. Going into an ice cave, freaking amazing. Ice caves are gorgeous, and because it's winter, they're more stable, so we do have some ice caves like Katla Ice Cave or the Into the Tunnel man-made ice cave. However, those are different than the ones that kind of just pop up, if you will, on glaciers, meaning guides are going around the glaciers and they find these gorgeous ice caves and make them available for people to see. If you want to go into something a little bit warmer, of course, geothermal pools going into a lagoon like the Sky Lagoon or Blue Lagoon. Blue Lagoon right now is a little bit of a toss-up because of volcanic eruptions in the area, but all the other places like Sky Lagoon, Kvamsvik, and, you know, other places around Iceland, even the local pools are lovely for getting in the warm water and getting reinvigorated, just relaxing. Snowmobiling is really fun. Going to Christmas markets and festivals because of the season. There's, yeah, a decent amount of things that you can do that's outdoors. And of course, indoors, there's lovely museums, exhibits, concerts. When it comes to December events and holidays, of course, Christmas, Jól in Iceland. And Icelanders celebrate Christmas with a lot of enthusiasm. There's celebrations, decorations, there's the town square, Ingolstorg, is turned into a little Christmassy area, festive area where there's ice skating. Not the best ice skating rink in the world, I'll just be as transparent as possible, but it can be a fun experience, as well as selling hot chocolate, candies, different types of handmade crafts. And you can find those at Christmas markets too, which are definitely happening during this time. Christmas buffets are amazing, so delicious. Whether you want to try traditional food or you're like me and you're plant-based and you just have a big feast, there are some Christmas buffets that they actually make them plant-based, but they're modeled after traditional food. I went to one last year and I was blown away. If you're into drinking alcohol, Christmas beers and spirits come out during this time. So there's a lot of things for people to try, a lot of possibilities for, you know, at Christmas markets to pick up different crafts from locals. And then, like I mentioned, with the Christmas buffets or Christmas concerts, the experiences are vast. And going into the new year, December 31st, huge celebration, lots of fireworks. There's also a bonfire. There's a whole thing going on. Áramóta Skoipið, which is the yearly comedy show, and you can watch that with English subtitles. Fireworks are actually shot off from everywhere by everybody. You buy the fireworks from the search and rescue teams. There's partying downtown. So it really all just depends. December packs in a lot of stuff. The Yule lads, of course, I have to mention them. They come. And so Iceland and Christmas is unique in that starting on December 12th, the Yule lads and their mother, who's a troll, and the big black cat that eats people who don't get new clothes for Christmas. And, you know, Grilla is their mom. She is the one. And I did a whole episode on this, by the way. So I'll link that episode because I feel like then I could go on and on about them because they are fascinating. But I have an episode about the Icelandic Yule lads and also another one about 7 wonderful ways to experience Christmas in Iceland. So both will be linked in the description of this episode on allthingsiceland.com. And it will just give you more information about the activities, like I mentioned, Christmas buffets, Christmas markets, and others that I think you might find to be a lot of fun. If you are planning a trip, whether it's in December or any other time, before I hop into the random fact of the episode, I want to share some Iceland trip planning resources that I have, because I do receive a lot of amazing emails from listeners of the podcast and followers on social media asking me for advice on what to do in Iceland, which is wonderful. And due to the high demand for this information, I've created some resources. All of the ones I talk about are available through a link in the description of this episode on my website. Or if you just go to allthingsiceland.com, you'll see at the top navigation, there is a tab called Trip Planning Help. Click on that. You'll find links to everything I'm about to share, including having a video consultation with me for your trip. One of those resources is that you can literally book me for an hour and we talk via Google Meet. And during that time, whether you have an itinerary or just some idea of places you want to go or things that you like doing, and I can help you craft an idea of what your trip can look like. I don't write an itinerary for you, but I give you a lot of information. And then I also share a simple Word document after that call with everything that we talked about so that you can have it, because a lot of Icelandic words are confusing to people, or even like the area I was talking about in certain things. So I do try to make sure to, you know, have a follow-up with some helpful information for you to utilize as you're creating your own itinerary. You can, of course, make your own itinerary with My Iceland Map. So this is another great resource that I created, and it has over 260 places on it, which include accommodations, activities, attractions, restaurants, hotels, lots of stuff. And if you decide to get full access to My Iceland Map instead of just buying the map alone, You'll also get some itineraries that come with it, four of them. So a 10-day ring road trip, 3-day South Iceland trip, famous Golden Circle, and a Reykjanes Peninsula trip. And regardless if you buy them full access to the map or just the regular map, then you'll get lifetime access with that one time that you've purchased. And of course, any updates that I make to the map, which I'm doing all the time because there are new things happening or things I get to experience that are new and new to me. And I add them on there because I want to make sure that whatever I add to the map, I actually can vouch for. And you can find that map at rexby.com/jewels, JEWELLS, /Iceland, or under the trip planning help tab that I mentioned on my website at allthingsiceland.com. For the random fact of the episode, if you happen to be here during the time of Christmas, specifically December 23rd, and you want to try some very traditional Icelandic food that might, you know, knock it to your feet because of the stench, then you can try skata. Skata is fermented skate, and the smell of this fish, and I'm not saying you have to try this, but it is around and the smell is intense. So a lot of Icelanders will go to a restaurant to eat this instead of cooking it at home because the smell is so bad that it gets into all your clothes and apparently never goes away. According to some people, it's very hard to get out. So they wear like old clothes just to go. Clothes when they come home, they can just like take off and throw immediately into the wash. But if you make it in your house, it's like the whole house just smells the stench of fermented skate, fermented fish. That is unpleasant, but a lot of Icelanders love it. They've been eating it for years. Many of them have been eating it since they were babies. And this is a huge tradition on December 23rd for many people. Not everybody, but many. So if you want to do it the Icelandic way and really kick off your Christmas and with something unique, try some skata. The Icelandic words of the episode, of course, for December in Icelandic, it's spelled the same, but it's pronounced December. December. For saying Christmas or Merry Christmas to somebody, if you would like to, it is Gleðileg Jól. And I'll say it one more time. Gleðileg Jól. Gleðileg Jól. As always, thank you so much for listening. I hope this has been helpful for you as you're planning your trip in December. Þakka þér kærlega fyrir að hlusta og sjáumst fljótlega.